Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. All right. Honey came in and she got me red-handed, creeping with the girl next
door. Picture this, we were both butt naked, banging on the bathroom floor. Yes!
So it is.
It is.
The 7 o'clock hour of the Alex Donner Show here on 560 WQAM. You got the great bandwagoner Manny Chang riding shotgun here tonight. He wants so badly. Oh my God, don't. I know what comes next. That stupid chop. Lifelong Florida State fan, Manny Chang. God, I hate you. Not really. I kind of love you.
It wasn't me.
Didn't you say you may be meeting Nick Saban soon? Here's my prediction. He'll never admit to this publicly, but I guarantee you, when Manny Chang meets Nick Saban, I know he's going to try and take a selfie with Saban, which, like, to me, that would be too awkward to even ask. You're going to try to do it. Honestly, like, give me your impression on the text line, 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. If Manny Chang just approaches Nick Saban and asks to take a picture with him, do you think Saban says yes, or just he's got no time for that? Do you think Saban brushes Chang off, or does Saban actually agree to take a selfie with him? If he agrees to take the picture with Manny, I guarantee you I know what's going to happen next. Manny is going to feel obligated to make some small talk with the coach, and you're going to tell him, "Coach, I'm a huge fan of the Chris." He's saying stuff in my head. Stop it. You're going to tell him, "Coach, I'm a huge fan of the Crimson Tide." You know you're going to tell him you're a fan of his program.
Roll Tide, Coach.
You know that's what you're going to say to him. You're not going to say to him, "Coach, like, I respect you, but I hate your team's guts." You're going to tell him, "Coach, I'm a huge fan of Alabama. You guys are awesome." Our texter, Reggae Man, he continues this war on Adam Gase. "Give Gase Aaron Rodgers," he texts, "and he would trade him to the Jets during the season once Rodgers questioned his stupid play calling and selfish ways." Dono, Tannehill or not, Finns are doomed with this present leadership on the field. Man, I feel like if the Dolphins were to go 11-5 next year and make the playoffs, you would still find a way to pick him apart. They're doing it in spite of Adam Gase. "Nick Saban should take a picture with me," texter writes in. I don't know. Do you think Saban would agree? Like, if I were in a room with Nick Saban, as much as I would like the chance to take a selfie with him to post it on my social media, I would feel too awkward knowing what kind of a guy Nick Saban is. I would feel too awkward to ask him for a picture because I would be expecting him to say no in an incredibly awkward way. I don't want to put me or him in that position. I don't. I would feel way too awkward for that. So the Cleveland Browns are getting Hard Knocks on HBO. I'm actually excited for that. I know that I say a lot of mean things about the city of Cleveland and their sports franchises, but consider me excited to watch the Cleveland Browns on Hard Knocks. And most of that, selfishly, are to watch some of the Canes players there. Duke Johnson, David Njoku, they just drafted Chad Thomas, Jermaine Grace is there. So yeah, I do want to watch what some of my favorite former Miami Hurricanes are doing, what they're up to on Hard Knocks. That to me is reason enough to watch. But even excluding that, good piece today on thebiglead.com. Hard Knocks should show us whether the Cleveland Browns are a total mess or not. That's always a scary thing, right? Because the teams that should be doing Hard Knocks are the teams that are already established, but those are the teams that don't want to do Hard Knocks, right? Like the New England Patriots, they want nothing to do with Hard Knocks. I would imagine this current iteration of the Philadelphia Eagles want nothing to do with Hard Knocks, even though those are the teams that would probably be distracted and affected least by being on Hard Knocks. So the teams that want to do Hard Knocks tend to be the bad teams or the up-and-coming teams. I don't think the Cleveland Browns are that bad, but what I'd be afraid of here is, and they are coming off an 0-16 season, I think they're going to be probably not a playoff team, but I think they will be dramatically better this year. Like, I'm talking maybe 6 wins compared to last year's 0-16. I think what would scare you, though, on an up-and-coming team, a team that has been historically bad, recently epically bad, that in order to build and focus, I think being on Hard Knocks makes that very difficult. This goes back to when the Miami Dolphins did Hard Knocks back in 2012. I thought that was the wrong time to do that. New head coach, new regime there, a lot of new players. Now, the Browns have the same head coach because Hugh Jackson somehow survived going 0-16 last year. But the Cleveland Browns are a team that is very much in transition this year. They're trying to become an up-and-coming team. I think the idea of doing Hard Knocks when you're in that position that the Browns are in, when you're not an established team, when you're not an organized team, when you're bordering on being a complete and utter disaster, I think letting in those cameras and doing that reality show on a week-by-week basis with cameras filming every time you cut a player, every meeting, every locker room interaction, everything that happens on the field with HBO cameras covering that, I think as a team like the Cleveland Browns that are in transition, that's a very tough proposition, and that could actually affect the way they come out at the start of the year. But here's what we're working with, they write on the big league, because and this is why this should make great entertainment, right? I'm going to be glued to the set watching the Browns. Their head coach, Hugh Jackson, has a fetish for the phrase Pied Piper and generally comes off as an idiot in front of cameras. Pied Piper. He loves Silicon Valley. Hugh Jackson has a fetish for the phrase Pied Piper. Their offensive coordinator, Todd Haley, once reportedly shattered his pelvis at the bar Tequila Cowboy. Their defensive coordinator, Greg Williams, was in the middle of the Bounty Gate scandal. Their star receiver, Josh Gordon, for a long time couldn't stop smoking pot. Their supremely talented draft pick, Antonio Callaway, also had issues with pot. But that's not even the least of Callaway's worries. See his charges for credit card fraud and sexual assault. How could we forget this one? Their top draft pick, Baker Mayfield, may or may not be legitimately comparable to one of the Browns' biggest draft busts in team's history in Johnny Manziel. Their best player and left tackle, Joe Thomas, retired in an offseason when they drafted a quarterback at number one overall. They've got to find a serviceable replacement, and there isn't an obvious one. All right, deep breath. There's a lot of messed up crap. We'll get a front row seat with the help of HBO. So right there, excluding all of the former Miami Hurricanes players that I selfishly want to watch, from Njoku to Chad Thomas to Jermaine Grace to Duke Johnson, that's the primary reason why I'm going to tune in. Baker Mayfield itself is probably worth the price of admission there. So you take Baker Mayfield in his rookie year, new quarterback, put him on Hard Knocks. That makes that transition even tougher. I think that's not the type of team, the Cleveland Browns, that should be doing Hard Knocks. The problem is the bad teams or the teams that have been bad, those are the teams that want the publicity of being on HBO when the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles want nothing to do with that. But those are the teams that I think would be in the best position to survive the distraction of being on HBO for Hard Knocks. But all this to say, thankfully, I don't have a vested rooting interest in the Cleveland Browns, so I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it. Jesse Lockhart tweets to me, if Manny Chang got a picture with Nick Saban, he would acquire all the bandwagon stones. That's right. He did that great Photoshop of you as Thanos, where you've got the Kane stone, you've got the Ohio State stone, you've got the Florida State stone, the LSU stone. The last stone you need is the Alabama bandwagon stone, and then you take over the universe. He will never experience disappointment ever again. Because think about it, if you root for every team, you cannot be disappointed. If you, like, you know, you use the expression, do you have a horse in the race? Manny Chang has every horse in the race. So you cannot be disappointed. Whether Alabama or UCF or LSU or Florida State or Miami wins the national championship this year, Manny Chang is partying like it's 1999.
Well, you can't say Miami. I'm not allowed to jump on the bandwagon.
That's true. 88% we voted not letting you back on the bandwagon.
Yeah, hell no was the correct phrase.
By the way, they're underway at Mark Light. The start of Jim Morris's final weekend home series. Final home series in Coral Gables for Jim Morris before he rides off into the sunset in retirement. Miami hosting Boston College tonight, 7 o'clock. So they just got underway. Tomorrow, 7 o'clock, and Saturday, 1 p.m. That will be the final game for Jim Morris. I hope to be able to make it out to that later on this week. 560-22 is how you get at us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. Yeah, maybe it's 7:40 when Hal Habib joins us. I'll ask him if Ryan Tannehill deserves the nickname RT-17. A good point tweeted to me by Ken Levicka from ESPN 106.3 in Palm Beach. He doesn't like that nickname for Tannehill, not because Tannehill doesn't deserve it, but five syllables for a nickname, it's kind of ridiculous. I think he made the best point of all. Because when I dropped, and I didn't make this up, but when I dropped RT-17 talking about Ryan Tannehill, that's Ryan Tannehill's nickname. Whether you think he earned it or not, RT-17 is his nickname. People got angry at me saying Ryan Tannehill hasn't earned a nickname. That's not the kind of, in my opinion, that's not the kind of nickname you earn. You earn the nickname the greatest. You earn the GOAT. You own primetime. You own the master of disaster. You have to earn that nickname. When your nickname is your initials and your number, I don't feel like you have to earn that. But I thought Ken Levicka made the best point. Five syllables, probably too damn much for a nickname in the first place. Another texter wrote in, the only nickname that he accepts for Ryan Tannehill is Tannekill. You can thank Big O for that one.
I'm also getting 20-yard box RT-17.
20-yard box. Man, nobody created more nicknames for Ryan Tannehill than Big O. And he backed away from all those. In 2016, when Tannehill played pretty well, was no longer the man in the box because Tannehill had the second best deep ball accuracy in the entire league behind only Derek Carr in 2016. So the 20-yard box thing did not apply. And Tannehill played well enough in 2016 that the Tannekill did not suffice anymore. Although a texter did write this in. In Tannehill's best season, 2016, he finished 24th in QBR. That was three spots lower than Brock Osweiler. So you're telling me there's a chance Brock Osweiler is going to be my starting quarterback this year. There are criteria for doing hard knocks, a texter writes. Teams that made the playoffs in the last two seasons, teams with new coaches, and teams that have done hard knocks in the last 10 years are exempt. Well, that must be a recent rule then, because in 2012, the Dolphins did hard knocks with a new coach. So if that's really a criteria, they set that afterwards, because that was Joe Philbin's first year when the Dolphins did hard knocks. Maybe that was when they realized we probably shouldn't do this anymore. Orlando used to refer to Tannehill as Tannekill until he interviewed Tannehill. And then the childish name-calling came to an abrupt end. I can't even fault him for that, though. If that's really how that went down, that's happened to every radio host in America. It's happened to every radio host in America where you give a player or a coach, you rip them incessantly on the air, and then you actually meet that person, interview that person, get to know that person a little bit, and it becomes a lot harder to rip them. There was a time when I ripped Al Golden a lot less because I got to know him a little bit. It was an incredibly nice guy to me. It didn't feel right. It's hard to childishly rip people when you interview them and they're nice to you. I can understand backing away from Tannehill when you actually have a conversation with the guy. It's a lot easier to childishly rip someone from afar. So Hal Habib from the Palm Beach Post is going to talk Dolphins with us at 7:40 tonight. But when we come back, a new edition of Clickbait.
Take it back. Look where I'm at. We was OD like DOC. Remember that. DC was quite OD. ID my facts. Now, POV of you and me.
Apparently, it might not be that ridiculous to think that Manny Chang can pull off a selfie with Nick Saban. We got a text from Rick and Davey, who, you know, that's another bandwagon guy, Rick and Davey. He roots for a lot of different teams. But Rick is a big Dolphins fan. Among every other team that he roots for, he is a big Dolphins fan. And Rick and Davey did tell me that He used to attend the Nick Saban shows. When Nick Saban coached the Miami Dolphins, he would do a weekly coaches show that would air on 790 The Ticket. I interned back in the studio for some of these shows. They would do it at like Gatsby's in Davie. And I never actually went out to a Nick Saban show in person. But according to Rick and Davey, during commercial breaks of the Nick Saban show, he would sign autographs, take pictures with fans. He was actually pretty cool to people out there. So maybe Manny Chang can get the final bandwagon stone. Maybe Manny can get that coveted selfie with Nick Saban. You can root for every single team in college football, and whether UCF or Toledo or LSU or Ohio State or Florida State.
FIU.
FIU, well, they're never going to win a national championship. That's why.
Hey, you never know. FIU. We could go undefeated
and still not win a championship, a la UCF.
Hey, listen, I have no control over that.
Oh man,
I am not part of that. You know, podium perspective in Dallas.
560-22 on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. If you'd like to get in via the phone lines, you can get in at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Going into a season knowing your team will be the winner is fun, but not as special, a texter writes to Manny. Okay, so if I can tell you only one of your teams can win a national title, which team would you like to see win the championship? Because I can't answer that question for you. You're thinking about it. I will answer that question for you. If you can only pick one of your teams to win a national title, you pick Florida State. Because
that is absolutely correct.
Because your girlfriend is happy, and that's the most important part of any relationship.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that would be the team that you would most want to win a championship.
I mean, listen, if Miami ever reaches one, I'll be working in it. If they win it, that'll be great. I mean, are you kidding me? I get to be part of a winning organization. Florida State wins it, I win either way. You know what I mean? Double or nothing.
Exactly. So, by the way, this is like a bonus clickbait story before we actually get to it, because the theme for clickbait tonight is every story is from the state of Florida. Let me give you one from outside the state of Florida before we get to clickbait proper. This is a soccer-related story. Chang couldn't believe this headline when I was reading this before the show. So, among the 32 teams heading to the World Cup, which does not include the United States, it does not include Italy, which is the other team I root for, it does not include the Netherlands, but among the 32 teams headed to the World Cup in Russia is Argentina. And so this is probably something that every team does before you go to the World Cup or before you go to the Olympics. They give their players like a handbook, right, of what life is going to be like in Russia, which is the host country. Like this is, you know, maybe how you conduct yourself on the street. Here are tips on manners in a foreign country, maybe what type of food you should look for, maybe the neighborhoods you should stay out of. But Argentina, the head of the Argentina Football Association, has apologized for the publication of a World Cup manual that included advice on how to seduce Russian women. It's not the greatest manual of all time. So in the manual that they gave to their players, right? Like if you've ever been to a foreign country, chances are you've checked up on the etiquette. Here's some things to look out for in a different culture. So the head of the Argentinian Football Federation published a handbook for his players. Here's what type of food you should eat in Russia. Here's how to say hello and thank you, how to conduct yourself on the street. And then on page 69, here is the manual on how to seduce a Russian babe.
Really? On page 69?
I made that part up.
Oh, okay. I see what you did.
Yeah. But there is a section in the manual, how to seduce Russian women. They had to apologize for that. That's crazy. Like, I guess that's the type of thing you don't want to make public. I'm just surprised the head of the Argentinian Football Foundation actually promotes his players getting laid, because that's controversial. I can remember the years ago before the 2016 or the 2014 World Cup, the head coach of Mexico said he doesn't want his players having sex because, you know, women weaken legs. The whole Mickey from "Women Weaken Legs" rock. That he wanted his players focusing on soccer and nothing else than soccer, so you are not allowed to have a little fun between the sheets before a game.
So you mean to tell me there's a such thing as an Olympic village, but not a World Cup village?
I don't think so. I think you just stay at hotels. But, you know, there's women everywhere, bro. And those Russian women, they're looking for husbands from other countries, from what I hear. That was probably in the manual. Don't get locked into a marriage. That's page 70 on the manual, right after page 69. Page 70, do not get locked into a marriage.
Except page 70 letters and comments there are very small in font 3.
So with that said, here is a new edition of Clickbait.
We know you spend a lot of time online. Well, so do we. Here's tonight's edition of Clickbait on the Alex Dano Show.
You know, admittedly, I have not been to SeaWorld for like the last 4 years since I watched the movie Blackfish. You ever see that? It's a little bit frightening, like the way they treated the killer whales there. They may have just erased any hard feelings that I had. This is all you have to do to win me back, folks. Dateline Orlando. Seawater won't be the only thing flowing at SeaWorld Orlando this summer. The theme park will offer free beer for guests on Fridays this summer, starting tomorrow. Every Friday throughout the summer, free beer at SeaWorld. This is pretty cool. I give them props for this, man. The line at this place will be out the door. Guests aged 21 and older can visit Mama's Pretzel Kitchen patio and get up to 2 free 7-ounce beers. That's not going to be enough for me, but still, it's a start. You can get up to 2 free 7-ounce beers per visit. Oh, so I guess you can visit multiple times. The free beer will flow from 10:30 a.m. until 1 hour before the park closes. The beer selection will include popular brews like Bud Light, Coors Light, and Miller Light, as well as SeaWorld's own Mako Red Ale. The last Friday, so mark this down, last call, the last Friday for free beer this season will be September 2nd, which is the Friday before Labor Day. So every Friday from tomorrow until September 2nd, you can get free beers at SeaWorld. That's a pretty neat thing they're doing, man. It's a tough landscape to have to compete with Disney and have to compete with Universal Studios. Free beer might be enough to get me back there, I will admit. Dateline, St. Petersburg, Florida. An exploding vaping pen killed a 38-year-old man earlier this month at his home, the autopsy shows. You ever see people with those vape pens? The thing that annoys me about the vape pens are, like, if you want to use one, I don't really care. But when people, like, use them inside, like, that's some kind of, like, a cigarette loophole, I still feel like it's kind of disgusting when I'm sitting next to somebody on a vape pen. Like, they may not be actual blowing smoke in my face, but to have someone a foot away from you indoors vaping, I don't know. I find it kind of disgusting to be sitting next to that person breathing in their vapor, but it is what it is. But an exploding vape pen killed a 38-year-old man earlier this month. The Pinellas County Medical Examiner confirmed the detail to 10 News on Tuesday. Firefighters had suspected it as the cause of death since first responders were dispatched to the home on a call about a fire Saturday, May 5th. This person's name is ridiculous. Talmage Wake Delia. That's the name of this person. That's the name of the deceased. Like, good luck printing that in the papers for the obituary.
Yeah, I doubt he read the manual.
Yeah, right. He didn't read the manual on how to seduce the Russian women either. Talmage Wake, that's his nickname, by the way. I don't know why they include that in the story. Talmage Wake Delia was found on the home's second floor in the area of 319th Avenue Northeast. Injuries to Delia's face indicate his e-cigarette exploded, burning 80% of his body, according to the medical examiner's report. Two portions of the device were recovered, with the cause of death stated as projectile wound of head, it reads. So it launched like half of the vape pen into his head like a bullet. That is frightening. So be careful out there, folks. Do not get the cheap version. At least get the reliable versions of that. Oh, man. And one more clickbait story, staying in the state of Florida. Dateline Daytona Beach. At least South Florida stayed out of these headlines this week. Nothing too crazy. Like, no people biting off faces with bath salts. Nothing like that this week from South Florida. But Daytona Beach, Florida. A Florida motorist trying to elude police didn't get too far when he bailed out of his pickup truck. That's because his pants fell to his ankles as he was running away and he tripped. That's like the worst getaway of all time. That's why you wear a belt, people, especially if you're trying to outrun police. The Daytona Beach News Journal reports 24-year-old Tobias Smith crashed into another vehicle, crashed into a power pole, then he crashed into a fence and a barber shop as he sped away from police during an attempted traffic stop on Tuesday. No one was injured inside the barbershop, thank goodness, but the crash cost around $3,000 in damage to the building. A police report says Smith ran out of his truck but was quickly captured when his pants fell down and he tripped. Has anyone ever, because, you know, whenever there's one of these live police chases, you stop and watch it on the news, right? Like the whole office will stop to watch the police chase. So I've seen several dozen of these in my life, right? It's the middle of the afternoon, police chase on the news, you stop and watch it. It's always over once they get out of the car, right? Like, has anyone ever successfully gotten out of the car and outrun police and just escaped? Because every time that's happened, and I get it, like you run into something, your car runs out of gas, but at that point, the chase is over, man. I mean, at that point, you sit in the car and you have to realize it's done. Like, this chase is over. But then the people get out of the car and they run away. Every time, 10 times out of 10, you're getting tased or you're getting tackled. Like, that's how that ends every time. So this guy's pants falling down and tripping basically just brought the end a little bit quicker. The inevitable end came to him a few seconds earlier than it would have, my friends. Oh, wow. Texter writes in, that's bull, Dono. They used to have free beer all the time. So you're telling me the seasonal free beer at SeaWorld used to be an all-year-round thing. So me praising them for offering free beer from May 18th to September 2nd, this used to be a 12-month-a-year thing? I got to dig to the bottom of this, my friends. By the way, Jim Morris's Hurricanes baseball team is up 1-0 at the end of the first inning at Mark Light. This is the final home series for Jim Morris before retirement. Tonight, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Saturday at 1 p.m., final three home games for Jim Morris at Mark Light. We'll talk Miami Dolphins with Hal Habib from the Palm Beach Post next.
The Edmore Sawgrass Buick GMC Studios.
Morris has more. Ed Morris is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County.
Yeah, every now and then you'll see a very loud minority of people moan and groan. Oh, I can't believe you're talking about OTAs, minicamp, who cares? Tell me when the season starts. But honestly, with the tweets that I've gotten the last couple of years covering OTAs, I think the vast majority of Dolphin fans care about the off-season stuff and they want more information. I think the people who complain are kind of the loud minority who just complain about everything. We are 5 days away from OTAs, and you know it's an exciting, maybe scary time for the Miami Dolphins and fans because we really don't know what to expect for next season. We go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Bring on a man who covers the team, among other things, for the Palm Beach Post. The great Hal Habib joins us. Hal, are you excited for OTAs?
Is this the complaint line?
it usually is. It usually is the complaint and concern line. That's usually how it goes here.
All right, we'll try to be optimistic tonight. How about that, Alex?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, Hal, and we talked last week about the cool piece that you wrote. It was the response to a very optimistic piece by Joe Shad about why the Dolphins should be a lot better than the Vegas oddmakers think, who have the Dolphins pegged at around 5.5 wins last year. You wrote the devil's advocate piece about why they could absolutely be as bad as Vegas thinks they will be. So what are the big things that fans should be looking out for here with OTAs, minicamp, and training camp coming up?
Well, I mean, the first thing you got to look for is Ryan Tannehill and what his level of involvement might be. You know, going back to the NFL meetings in Orlando, Adam Gase was asked about Ryan's availability for training camp, and Adam jumped in and said, oh, he'll be ready for OTAs. Now, I was going through some transcripts yesterday, and I found it interesting that he said that at the meetings in Orlando, but more recently, when he was talking about Ryan, he made some sort of reference to steps that they have to take with the doctors. Now, I don't know if that indicates that there's been some kind of bump in the road, or if that had been the case all along, and Adam just neglected to point that out in Orlando, but you know, that's out there, and I guess we'll know more maybe next week when we get a look at Ryan. I don't know if we're going to get to talk to him, but that would be definitely one thing. And, you know, any of the other guys who were injured last year are going to be worth seeing just where their development is now. Raekwon McMillan, you know, foremost in everyone's mind, he's a big piece of the puzzle this year. So we want to see how he's coming back from the knee. Tony Lippitt's another guy I was thinking about today. It would be good to see where he is. It might be premature to expect too much out of him given the nature of his injury, but that's on the injury side. And then, you know, definitely all eyes are going to be on Minka Fitzpatrick, the number one pick. Mike Gesicki, I definitely want to see what he can bring to the tight end position. And, you know, you go on down the line.
Walk us through, Hal, what fans can expect to hear about. I know fans cannot watch OTA practices, but I'm sure they'll be all over your Twitter account and they'll be on the Palm Beach Post website to see what the media is saying about what happened. So what do you get to see out there? Obviously, no pads, no hitting. So what do those sessions look like?
Well, they look like they don't look like a ton, really. You know, without pads and without real hitting, it's hard to really gauge an awful lot. One thing that you can gauge is the passing game to some degree because, you know, receivers run routes and quarterbacks throw passes, and you get to see what kind of chemistry they're developing in that regard. I always found it impossible to really judge a whole lot about things like running backs because they don't tackle to the ground. And so it's really a subjective thing. Is a guy going to break a tackle? Is he going to elude the linebacker? You know, you can't tell a whole lot there. So that's a little bit of what you can tell. You know, the line play is also hit and miss. So you get some sense, but it's very limited at this time of year.
You know, Hal, something that you wrote about today concerns the potential rule changes for kickoffs. Explain to me why Darren Rizzi, the special teams coordinator for the Dolphins, thinks that the rule changes could actually benefit Jakeem Grant and the Miami Dolphins in the kick return game.
Well, part of it is related to the restriction as far as running starts that the coverage team can make. And there are a bunch of other wrinkles that are being tossed out there. Now, keep in mind, these are only proposals right now. The NFL owners are going to meet again next week and vote on that. But Rizzi was part of, I think it was 8 special teams coordinators around the league who met and made recommendations. And a lot of it, it also relates to things like the wedge and how blockers can set up. And basically, there are an awful lot of things in the works that would be beneficial to the return game and giving a little bit of breathing room to returners. And when you put all that together, as he was describing some of this, I couldn't help but think, you know, a guy in space giving return men that kind of opportunity, you know, Jakeem Grant comes to mind for sure. And Rizzi agreed that it could be beneficial and that Jakeem is kind of looking forward to how these new rules, if they're implemented, could impact him. And he also pointed out that, you know, those little bloop kicks that people like the Patriots like to do where they hang the ball up and kick it short of the goal line. He thinks that that's going to be cut back and that teams are going to do more standard kickoffs from now on. And also, he pointed out he doesn't expect as many touchbacks as before.
We're talking with Hal Habib, covers the Miami Dolphins in the NFL for the Palm Beach Post. You know, Hal, I guess a lot of fans don't think about this too much because Adam Gase is the guy who has been and will keep calling the plays. But the Dolphins do have a new offensive coordinator this year. They changed the role for Clyde Christensen, and Dowell Loggins is in now as the offensive coordinator. Do you expect that to come with any noticeable changes to the offense? Could we see differences this year from the way they approach things?
Well, if you ask the Dolphins, they would say yes, because Loggins and Gase have a history and they're very confident they can work so well together. But what you said, I think, is really the bottom line there. Gase is calling the plays. He's been calling the plays. So I don't know if it's going to be that dramatic, really. I think it's going to look a lot like the Dolphin offense, although, you know, they're back to the standard line of how they want to go no huddle and up-tempo and all. And I think, Alex, you probably heard that once, twice before, haven't you?
I've heard that every year for as long as I can remember. I can't remember the last time a Dolphins offensive coordinator or head coach didn't say, "We want to be faster, no huddle." Like, it's that's been haunting my dreams.
I think Laser said that about every other day that when he was down here, I just didn't see it out of his offense at all.
You know, that brings something up with Dolphins coaches. How long you been covering the team, Hal?
Well, it depends on how you look at it, because before I was doing it on a daily basis, you know, I spent half my career as an editor, so, you know, I kind of include that because I was overseeing a lot of NFL coverage, even though I wasn't at camp. I was in the office a lot of the time. So, you know, I mean, my history with the team goes back to when I was just a kid following them, and then, you know, as soon as I became a journalist around, I don't know, 1980 or whatever, it's been 100 years ago, I've been involved with the Dolphin coverage in one way or another pretty much for most of those years.
Well, because I wanted to ask you, in your time covering the team, what coach, and it doesn't have to be a head coach, could be an assistant coach, just seemed the most incompetent to you? Because, I can remember, Hal, the first year that I ever covered the team, you know, locker room going to pressers, like, I was kind of in awe of, like, how incompetent Cam Cameron was and seemed in 2007. But you might have even seen things from assistant coaches and other head coaches I can't even imagine.
As you were preparing that question, the one name that kept floating in my head is the same one you just mentioned.
Yep.
And I'll go back to a news conference I attended where the season was just going. It was falling all apart for the Dolphins. And the only thing really left to figure out on this team was whether they had a quarterback for the future. And I remember Cam Cameron making some sort of speech about how important it was to try to win this coming Sunday and the Sunday after that. And therefore, he was going to start Cleo Lemon. And he was going to do this even though there couldn't have been a single soul on the planet, including Cleo Lemon. We thought that Cleo Lemon was a quarterback of the future for this team.
Yeah, he knew better than anyone, Cleo. Yeah.
Yeah. And I walked out of that news conference. I swear my eyes were glazed over. It was like, what is going on here? And, you know, I know he had success as a coordinator from time to time, but that guy should never have been a head coach. Never.
I can remember there was a famous presser with Cam, and I missed the draft presser where he talked about Ted Ginn's family. I was not there in person for that. But I remember there was a presser in the season where he could not answer a question about who was calling the plays on Sunday, right? Like, whether it was him or Mike Mularkey. Like, and maybe he was trying to hide that information, but it seemed like he didn't know the answer to it. And I came away from that thinking, wow, this guy is my head coach.
Yeah. And there's a famous fail forward fast line that
all time.
Yeah.
Great.
The legendary. Yeah. Who could forget that? Yeah. You know, it's weird. I mean, Joe Philbin had a similar thing where I don't know how many times we asked him, what is your procedure for determining whether to challenge a call? And I swear in all the years he was here, we never got an answer. We didn't even get a whiff of an answer. And I mean, what's the big secret?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not like there's some insider trading going on there. Like who's going to benefit from hearing that?
Yeah. I mean, we know Belichick hides the red flag in his stock. Okay. Big deal. You know, if you're going to have a state secret, maybe that would be the one. I don't know, but coaches are a funny breed sometimes.
Hal Habib from the Palm Beach Post joins us here on WQAM. Hal, I don't know if I'm really familiar with where you stand on Ryan Tannehill. Can a healthy Ryan Tannehill, how far can he get this Dolphins franchise?
Well, I don't think he's ever going to be considered, you know, elite. I'm probably not making any kind of newsflash here when I say that he's not going to be in that same category with the handful of other guys that we all know as the elite quarterbacks in this league. I think he can be good, but I think that if you put him on a team that has a really good defense and a running game and some of the other pieces that you need, he can take a team where it needs to go. I don't know if he's going to be the reason that whatever team gets that far. Maybe he will develop that someday. I don't know, but I don't think he's going to hold the team back necessarily if it has all the other pieces that are needed to be, you know, a contender.
We're heading into a season, Hal, where the Dolphins have just either cut or traded three of their best players on paper in the form of Mike Pouncey, Ndamukong Suh, Jarvis Landry. How impactful could those losses be? Do you think that the signings and the draft picks they've picked up can account and balance these losses out? Could actually the culture be better for no longer having those guys in it? Do you think the result will be worth the risk in these moves?
I'm really skeptical about all of that. I mean, I think that there's a net loss in talent. I mean, you know, Ndamukong Suh, there isn't another Ndamukong Suh on the roster right now. I like Devon Gotcha a lot, but, you know, he's not Ndamukong Suh. And the other guy, you know, Pouncey is a loss. Landry, I think they're trying to replace Landry with two guys rather than one, sort of, you know, receiver by committee kind of thing. But I think the Dolphins' response, especially Adam Gase's response, would be I believe it's that they think that the sum is going to be better than the individual pieces. And I think that's what they're counting on. I think it's partially because of a better locker room in their view, just that there's more cohesion, chemistry, and all of that. I think that's what they're banking on, all of that coming together and them being able to surprise people who look at the roster on paper and say they just don't measure up.
Who do you think Arsenal's next manager is going to be?
Well, I'm hearing Mikel Arteta.
Okay. I know you're all
over
this.
That name seems to be bubbling up more and more as the days go on. I guess he's a favorite right now. I'm still a little bit partial to Yogi Love of the German national team, but, you know, we'll have to see how all that plays out after the World Cup.
You can follow this man on Twitter, at Gunnar Hal, big Arsenal fan, covers the Miami Dolphins and the NFL for the Palm Beach Post, Hal Habib. Thank you, as always, my friend, for taking the time. We'll talk to you again.
All right, Alex. Take care now. Thanks.
And have fun at OTAs next week. Maybe I'll see you out there. We'll see how that goes. I haven't been out the last couple of months to as much Dolphin stuff from the rookie minicamp and the draft stuff because, having an 11-week-old at home has made those things a little difficult, but I would like to catch some OTAs, no question about that. In the 8 o'clock hour, the birthday boy, Bill Lindsay, is going to join me. Should I feel guilty about getting Bill Lindsay on my show on his birthday? Manny Chang is nodding yes. So the behind-the-scenes story on that was, early this afternoon, I had no idea it was Bill Lindsay's birthday tonight. I asked him to come on the show by text. He's such a nice guy. He said yes. Then I found out a couple of hours later, Manny Chang told me it's Bill Lindsay's birthday. What a coincidence. And maybe I could have texted him, given him an out. Hey, if you want to do it another night, that's fine. But I really wanted to talk playoffs with Bill tonight, Stanley Cup playoffs. And we will wish him a happy birthday, but was it a bad move on my part to bring Bill Lindsay on the air on his birthday? We will discuss that and more next here on QAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.